I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our weekly I Love
Islam.
Hopefully we'll be together, we'll be enjoying ourselves, and we'll be learning so many beautiful things about our religion. So please make sure you stay tuned, watch this program till the end. MashaAllah, we've got 4 kids here who have joined us. We've got a beautiful lineup today. MashaAllah, I want to start off just a quick introduction. We've got someone who's in the corner. It's Muhammad Ayan. Is it Muhammad Ayan?
Yes.
MashaAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. How are you doing, Ayan?
I'm good. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Thank you for asking. You're being kind, MashaAllah. And where do you go to madrasa?
Madrasatul Madina.
Madrasatul Madina, MashaAllah. In Oldham?
Yeah.
What time's your class?
7:30 till 8:50.
Ooh, the third shift.
Yeah.
Ooh, is it not too late? Are you tired at that time or are you fresh?
No, I'm fresh.
You're fresh at that time? I think maybe because after school you have plenty of break there, don't you?
Yeah.
Can you remember one of the lessons that you learned this week?
I learned about...
Like a topic.
The Sahaba.
You learned about the Sahaba?
Yeah.
Sahaba are those lucky people who are the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. So learning about Sahaba is one of the favorite things, one of the beautiful things that you can do, mashallah. Mashallah, next to Ayan, we have someone who's normally here. Sometimes he skives as well. He hides behind one of the doors. But he's back here again. We've managed to find him. He's creeped through the studio today. It's Hashim. How are you, sir?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good.
Are you okay? Are you enjoying yourself? MashaAllah, you ready for the day?
Yeah.
Are you ready for the challenges?
Yeah.
Let's go to the next person now. It's the famous Baba Ali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ali, Babi, alhamdulillah, ya kulli hal. You might have the energy, but I'll give salam first. So I get the 10 points. MashaAllah, good try though.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
That's cheating. You're getting the swab early.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine.
I also asked first as well for what?
MashaAllah. But you asked and not in your own turn. So you lose all the points. You know why? It's my rules. Just joking. So that's a good one. MashaAllah. Giving salam. Remember, giving salam is sunnah. And try to give salam first. Whenever you meet each other, the person who gives salam first, he gets more thawab. And the one who gives salam with more energy and with some passion, then that person will get more thawab. Sometimes you're replying to the salam, but you're replying in a better way than the person who gave you salam. Yeah, someone said, Assalamu alaikum. And you said, Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah, you give salam with much love and passion, and inshallah, you'll get more thawab. So always have competition when it comes to salam. MashaAllah, well done, boys. It looks like the kids are ready for the fun today, inshallah. Okay then, let's enter the next segment, or the first segment of today, My Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, My Islam. Alhamdulillah, this is the time where we get a chance to learn about so many beautiful things about our religion. In this segment, we share with you such topics that express the wonders of Islam. And today, alhamdulillah, we have one exciting topic that we'll be discussing. It's a powerful topic. What is the topic? Just before I announce the topic, I want to turn to the kids. Let's see if they can guess the topic. Obviously, boys, it's going to be Islamic topic. So I don't want to say some wild things here. Anyone, raise your hand if you want to say something. Come on. Have a wild guess first. Let's see how wild Islamic guess. Come on.
Is it to do with our challenges?
No. It could be related to that. It can be related to that. And when we discuss the topic, I'll try to relate it to that challenges as well.
Is it something to do with the Ashra-i Mubashara?
Is it to do with Ashra-i Mubashara? Who are Ashra-i Mubashara, Ayan and Hashim?
Come on. The 10 companions that are guaranteed paradise.
Subhanallah. Those lucky companions who were given the news that they will enter Jannah in the life. They were given this news by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
I think that'll be
Ashra-i Mubashara, but that's not our topic.
I think that'll be in the Islam Heroes.
Maybe. Yes, maybe no. We'll find out. Come on. What else could it be?
To do with the companions.
Is it to do with companions? Not directly.
But this is
such a topic that when we discuss this topic, definitely the Sahaba, the life of Sahaba comes into discussion.
Is it to do with the grave?
Is it to do with grave?
It goes off.
No. It's obviously normally to do with the life, the living of this earth.
Is it to do with the life routine?
Is it life routine?
Like your daily.
It's kind of something. It should be like all the time.
Like a morning routine or something like that.
It's not about the morning routine. It's like all the time you need to have that presence of mind. Shall I give you a clue?
Yeah.
Okay, when I introduced this segment, I mentioned a keyword. That keyword is in the title.
What's the title?
That's the title. That's what
Angels.
You need to guess.
Angels.
No, that was in the quiz of the day. When I was given description about the segment My Islam. And I said, today we have something topic.
Islamic.
Subhanallah. You got it correct. You can give yourself a part now.
How is that to do with Islam?
Obviously, it's going to be Islamic topic.
Yeah. You should say that.
Come on, Noman. Finally, Noman's woken up.
That's not a clue. That's not
okay,
a clue.
The clue is, today we are going to talk about P of P. It's Islamic words, by the way.
People of people.
People of people. Wow. What interesting topic today. People of people.
People of
personalities of people.
I didn't say people. He said letter P. So you have to guess what the P are. The middle letter is of.
Are both the P's the same?
They're English words.
Yeah.
They're not Arabic words.
Can I say?
Is this the same word?
Personalities of people.
Oh, that's a nice one, that. Personality of people. And the topic that we're going to talk about today, if they have this in them, they will have a wonderful personality. Can you boys speak nice and loud, yeah? Nice and loud. Don't scream, though. I don't want people to faint when hearing your voice. Yeah, but speak nice and loud.
Is it to do with
nice and loud?
Is it to do with something that people have inside of them?
They like have the heart, organs. They have lungs, they have bones, they have veins.
Like diseases of the heart. Is it something?
It's a good quality.
It's a good quality.
So something that some people have, and if you say everyone should have.
Only some people have it.
Some people have it.
Only some people.
Some people have it.
Okay.
And if you say most people don't have this, and they need to have it.
So what's the last P?
That's why they have problems in life, because they don't have it.
Oh, thankfulness. Being grateful to Allah.
Subhanallah. I've learned something new today. Thankfulness starts with P.
Poverty.
Subhanallah. You got a new teacher in the house.
Poverty.
And he's teaching us. Thankfulness starts with P.
Peace.
MashaAllah, we should have peace in our heart.
Power.
Come on, Ayana, what could it be?
Power.
Whoa, guess what? Hashim got it right. The first word is right. Power of.
Power of it.
What could it be now? You're getting there now. Remember, it's a stomach topic, yeah? So I have to keep reminding you because.
Power of personality.
No.
What's the last word?
What's the last word? Lecture, you mean?
No. Lecture last, of the last
lecture
word.
Lecture of the last word.
Oh, yeah.
No, the second letter of the last
is letter E.
People.
Power of.
Peace.
Power of peace. What could it be? What could it be? Come on, everyone. Today, inshallah, we are going to talk about power of patience.
Oh.
Sabr. And that's one thing someone said just before the program. I don't have, who is that? Someone was told, sabr, have patience. He goes, well, I don't have it. That's the topic today, power of patience. How important it is for us to be patient, to control yourself, to have self-discipline. And what type of patience is there? Like when different occasions, we should have patience. That's the topic, inshallah. We're going to be talking about this. So Ali, inshallah, will be reciting the kalam today. Which kalam are you going to recite?
Meri ulfat madina se yun hi nahi.
Subhanallah. MashaAllah. So we're going to recite a kalam about the love of Madina Sharif. Enjoy the beautiful kalam. The love of Madina. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Kahe kaash ek baar se hai ab tera jeena marna madine mein hai ab tera jeena marna madine mein hai meri ulfat madine se
حبيب
صلى الله تعالى
على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم سبحان الله سبحان الله everyone say ما شاء الله
ما شاء الله
ما شاء الله may Allah accept this kalam and may Allah Ta'ala take you to Medina this year inshallah may Allah Almighty take you to Medina with your family inshallah that was a beautiful kalam with deep love from Medina Sharif, whenever we recite Kalam, we should always recite Kalam with focus, with love, with passion, with this belief that whenever you recite the Naat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have this belief that this Naat is being, I'm reading this Naat in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And have that feeling, have that yearning, have that feeling of longing that I want to go to Medina. No, don't just read it as a, like, for the, like, just like a tune. Yeah, don't just read it because people read it now. Read for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every time we listen to Naat, every time we read a Naat, this should increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, it's I Love Islam program, and it's all about increasing our love for Islam. It's all about increasing our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. MashaAllah, it was a beautiful kalam. I'm just gonna say well done to Ali again. Every time you're reciting, mashallah, we can see an improvement in your recitation. You have paid a lot of attention. You've been practicing. How many times have you recited this?
I don't know. In the program.
Not before. No, just generally.
Today.
From last week to now.
I don't know. Not that much times.
Well, you have been repeating it, though.
Not that much times.
Like,
100 is little for Ali, remember. He says 100 times, that's little for Ali.
Two, three times.
Probably more than that. If it was 2-3 times, you wouldn't be reading that confident. No. I think you need to go back to nursery again and start learning how to count. It looks like you need to count a bit more.
Maybe 5 to 10 times.
Ooh, he's moved from 2 to 3 to 5 to 10.
Today I did only 2 times. Before the program, like 15-20 minutes.
15-20 minutes. But you practiced, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to get. You practiced. You tried to repeat a few times. And that's why you were confident. That's what we need to do. Whenever you get a chance to read a Naat at a masjid program or in your madrasa, in your local area, even at home as well, before you go there and start performing, give it a practice as well. Practice makes man perfect. Okay, practice. The more you practice, the more confidence you will have, the more fluency you will have, and the more you will enjoy yourself. The most important thing for Naat is you need to first enjoy yourself. And if you enjoy the Naat yourself, you read it with deep love for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, this will have an impact on the listeners as well. And people will feel the beauty and the spirituality, and they will feel that love as well. And that's the whole point. We want to read a Naat. We can read Naat at home. We can close all the windows, all the doors, and read Naat at home. And inshallah, you'll get the reward, you'll get the blessings. But when we read the Naat in front of public, in a program, or in I Love Islam program, when you read Naat like this, then you're not just reading for yourself, you're also encouraging other people to do as well. That is something that we want to take away today, inshallah. So any kid out there who doesn't know a Naat, we don't want to hear a no from you. Yeah? If someone asks you a question, do you know a Naat? You say, oh no, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Someone asked you, do you know how to praise Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? How could you even say no? How can we say we are Muslims? We are Sunni Muslims. How could we say no? Every Sunni is a Naat Khan. We all should be reading Naat of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It doesn't matter about the voice. It doesn't matter about the tone. Yeah, it's not about the tune. It's not about if you made a high pitch, low pitch. That helps you as well. It increases your love, increases your like effort. Now, when you learn a Naat, but that's not everything. It's all about heart, how much you love Naat. So don't hesitate, don't be shy, don't feel embarrassed when it comes to the Naat of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So I hope the kids who are watching this, inshallah, you're going to try to learn a Naat as well. Right, we're going to get back to our topic now. We are talking about power of
patience.
MashaAllah. Today we're going to be talking about power of patience. How important it is for us to be patient. Well, I want to turn to the kids now. I want you guys to give me examples of when someone should show patience. And whilst you're making a list, I want to see how many occasions you can mention, how many events, how many like moments in life you can talk about. Someone should be patient there. Someone should be patient there. Or the way I want you to say it is one place to be patient is here. Yeah, so we'll go in a row. Just hold on. Sabr, that's the topic. Sabr, you wait for your turn. Yeah. So I want to see how many different occasions you can mention the place of patience. And afterwards, I want you, well, let's see if you can guess the place of patient that I've got in my mind. And let's see if you can guess that as well. Come on then. Let's, which where do we start from? We're gonna start from corner. Come on, Norman. I'm gonna go that way then, okay?
Gee. I think I know
you. No, first tell me any topic first. Tell me a place of patience.
When the place of patience is in the Kaaba. No, not in the Kaaba, but like when you're doing Hajj.
SubhanAllah. When you're traveling to Hajj, SubhanAllah, many people this year will be traveling to Hajj. So remember, the journey of Hajj is all about patience. So be strong, be patient, don't get annoyed. Yeah, be firm when you perform your worships of Hajj, inshallah. Ji.
So I'm gonna expand on something, the not thing that you said. So you know the
is that
so,
the top is that the question I asked
no,
you?
No, but I'm
we could come back okay. to that after. Come on, we're making a list.
It is a time of patience is when you're learning a not.
MashaAllah, that's good. How?
Because
you can expand on this now.
Because to learn a not takes time.
Yes. So to master an art, you have to be patient. To master an art. Okay, well done.
A place of patience is when you're in a line waiting for something.
When you're waiting for your dinner, on a dinner line or
ice cream
a school. You have a school line, don't you, before you enter your classrooms?
Ice cream trucks.
No.
Oh, ice cream trucks. Ooh, nice bright sunny day, isn't it? Yeah. So if you're in a queue, yeah, and there's a ice cream van outside, and you need to make sure you're patient when you're standing in the queue. Wait for your turn. Don't just fly over people, yeah, or go under their legs. Don't try to get there first. No, let your turn come. Be patient.
Well, it's iftari time.
Ooh.
And you read the namaz before you eat.
That's a good one. So what do you mean? Can you explain that again? So it's iftari time. And
you read maghrib namaz. Before you eat your food.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a hard one though, isn't it? Ooh, the food's ready for you. It's Maghrib time. It's if you broke the fast. You've done iftari, you know, with a few dates, with water. But the main meal, you didn't eat that yet. You read your namaz first. Okay, then you had the food. That's the one place to show patience. MashaAllah, that's a good one. Well done. Come on, you've done four so far. Come on, let's see as I Love Islam team, let's see how many places you can mention.
I've got three in my mind already.
Say one, leave the other two for next time.
One place to show patience is itikaf.
Itikaf? What is itikaf?
Itikaf is the last 10 days of Ramadan and you stay in a masjid.
So how do they do it, patience there?
So yeah, because they wait till the end.
Yeah, you have to stay there till Ramadan completes. MashaAllah. Come on.
One place is your patience is when you're learning tajweed.
I think you guys are just going to make a big list with small things. Come on, I'm looking for like a variety of examples. Come on.
A place of patience is when you read the namaz and someone behind you is still reading the namaz, you wait for them.
Yeah. So you finished your namaz and you want to go. But there's someone behind you who's reading the namaz. And you don't want to disturb that person, and you just want to sit there for a while before someone's reading the namaz. Especially if someone's reading the namaz, like say on the left side, not right behind you, but he's on the left side. And now, if you were to cross that person, if you were to pass that person, the only way to do it is to cross that person while he's reading the namaz. That's something you should avoid. And you shouldn't be crossing a person who's already reading the namaz. So now, you're being patient. You're staying there. You're not saying, "Come on, brother, can you be quick?" You're not talking to that person. You're not nudging him. You're not pushing him. You're just sitting there patiently, and you're waiting for that individual to complete his namaz, so you can cross that person. MashaAllah, that was a good one. Well done, Baba Hashim.
For example, one place of patience is when someone's talking and you don't speak over them.
SubhanAllah, that's a nice one. What do you mean? I want you to expand on this.
Like, let's say someone's talking.
You have to speak loud.
Let's say someone's talking about Islam and you want to really answer. You wait for them, let them finish, and then you can talk.
Wow, that is a beautiful habit. When someone's talking to you and you know the answer, you know what they're talking about, and you think, listen, I know what you're saying now. I know what you're saying. Listen, you just barge in. Yeah, it's called a gate crash. You gate crash his discussion. Yeah. You're not letting that person finish. That's not a good habit. A lot of people have that habit. They won't let the person complete his discussion. So whenever you talk to someone or whenever someone's talking to you, let them finish what they're saying. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes you have to wait a lot. Yeah, and it's not easy. But you'll get that's where the reward is. That's where the blessing is, and that's what patience is. Yeah, so you need to show patience when someone is talking and you want to say something, but you don't. You remain quiet. You stay behind. You let that person finish off what they're talking. So, mashallah, that's beautiful. You've done 8 so far. Come on. What else can you say?
When someone's doing Tarawih.
Tarawih prayer. Yeah, it's a long namaz, isn't it? Yeah, so normally it takes like one hour, 1.5 hour sometimes. Depends on the speed of the Imam Sahib. And it's not easy. Some people give up, and fuck, loads of people give up, don't they?
They leave it after.
Some people only come like 2-3 days, and after a couple of days, they just give up. Yeah, they just give up. And the people who are reading namaz behind the Imam, and they have to show patience. But some people don't. Some people will speak up. Say, Imam Sahib, can you please read faster? Some people do it. I got a message once as well about someone, can you please tell your Imam to be quicker? Yeah. So everyone's lifestyle is different. Some people is way past their bedtime, they struggle. Some people wake up early morning. It's not easy. But you can't have one thing for everyone. This is where you have to compromise. You have to compromise. And one place to show patience is when you have to compromise your opinions. You want, for example, Tarawih namaz, you're talking about. You want Tarawih namaz or Jummah namaz. Yeah. Jummah Salah is at 1:30 in one of the centers, for example. And to you, I think 1:30 is too early for you. You want Jummah namaz to be 2 o'clock. Or you want Jummah namaz to be at 3:30. Yeah. That suits you. But does it suit everyone? No. One time doesn't suit everyone. This is where everyone needs to learn to compromise, show tolerance. No, we need to, Jummah namaz shouldn't change because of me. I need to change because of Jummah namaz. I need to change my day routine. I need to change my lifestyle according to the prayers. For example, someone might say, look, Fajr is early mornings. It's not easy. And someone might think, it doesn't suit me. It's hard. Yeah. Well, we need to change ourselves according to the namaz times. Namaz time won't change for us. That's what we need to learn. We need to have patience and be strong and accept the rulings of Islam. So, mashallah, that was a good thing that you mentioned. And that opened a lot of bigger topic, mashallah.
Quran, when you're trying to complete it.
Especially hifz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you're doing hifz. How much patience do you have when you're doing hifz?
It's very hard. I just started it. It's very hard.
Very, very hard.
When you need a toilet and someone else is in the bathroom.
Ooh. When you desperately need to go to the toilet and someone's already there and you can't break the doors down.
He didn't say anything.
No, hold on. It's okay. We do the mixed match now. But that's one example you said. Yeah, but my question was about hifz for a bit.
But he was also doing hifz.
But mashallah, you mentioned a good point though. But this is where you need to be wise. Yeah, you need to be wise. Go to the toilet before. Get your timing right. Why do we have to go to the toilet last minute every time? Okay, sometimes when that happens, it's emergency. That can happen to anyone. It's not easy, but you need to show patience. But generally, if it's happening to you every day, there's something wrong with your routine. You need to go and answer the call of nature way before. Yeah, get your timing right. Gee, back to the hifz topic. So someone said that we need to show patience if you are memorizing the Quran. How? When? So Ali said, because it's hard, so you have to be patient with it. Well, when someone's memorizing Quran, how can they show patience? By not
rushing.
That as well. But I want you to, let's see if you can guess the keyword. When you're memorizing the Quran, you're a Hifz student, you've learned 5 para, 10 para, you're going to madrasa, it's getting tough now because you have to repeat your previous lessons as well. And you assume that you have to be half a para every day. It's not easy. And time comes and you struggle. And if you, one way to continue is to express your patience by not
giving up.
That's the word.
Not giving up.
And by not giving up means you need to be patient. Be strong. If you memorize 5 paras, what does that mean? That means Allah Ta'ala has given you a brain and you can do it.
You can do it.
It's in you. It's in your system. You can memorize. But you have to continue. You can't give up. If you give up, you'll end up nowhere. You'll go backwards. Whatever you know, you'll forget that as well. So you can't afford to give up. If you're taking the challenge, then you need to continue the challenge. Just keep going, keep trying. Time will be hard. Some moments will be difficult for you. But don't stop there. Don't give up. Be consistent. Just keep trying. Keep trying every day. Be steadfast. And inshallah, one day, you will become a hafiz of the Quran. MashaAllah, today we spoke quite a bit about power of patience. Sometimes a person comes to you, he's being angry, he's being rude. He's swearing at you. You know, the answer to these type of people is silence. Just stay quiet. Don't give them a reaction. When you give them a reaction, that's what they're looking for. They want you to get in trouble. They want you to do something stupid. And if you stay quiet, if you don't give them that sort of reaction, you just control yourself. The power of patience is, then you won't get into trouble. They'll get in trouble themselves. And first, they'll probably give up after a while. They'll get bored. Even if they swear at you, if someone swore at you, someone said really bad words, then what? It doesn't mean anything. They can say whatever they want. When someone swears at you, that person is showing what's in his mind and what's in his heart. He's showing his inner self. He's showing his true colors. But you need to show your true colors by being patient. Ignore the person. Yes, if it's needed, then you know, relay that to approved guardian, your teacher, your parents. Make them aware. And this, you shouldn't be just be saying they're doing nothing. But don't give them the reaction. That is important. But one place where we need to show patience is when a person, he wants to do guna, he wants to do something bad, something naughty, something he knows is wrong. Okay, he's watching things on his phone, on his TV screen, on his tablet, and he knows as a Muslim we shouldn't be watching this. It's not allowed. It's harmful material. We can't be looking at this stuff. It's not allowed. Even if it's outside, he knows it's guna. If I'm, like, for example, lying, any bad habit, anything wrong, he wants to do. He really wants to do it. Yeah. But he'll stop from it. He'll say, no, I can't do it. And what is he doing? He's showing patience. He's getting a temptation to do something wrong, but he's showing patience. And the power of patience in this case is that when a person is firm, say, no matter what happens, I won't do this. I won't do the naughty thing because I love Allah and I want Allah to be happy with me. And inshallah, if you be strong, if you stay away from evil, if you show patience from guna, that you don't do guna, then inshallah, Allah Almighty will get that bad, temptation away from your heart and you'll have that love for the good things then. Then you'll have the temptation of good things. Then you will want to read Naad. Then you will want to read the Quran. Then you will want to listen to your parents. You will like it. You'll become addicted to it. Whenever your parents tell you to do something, you will just fall in love with it. You'll say, yes, I want to do it because my dad told me to do this. My mom told me to do this. That's how important patience is. Stay away from evil. And this is one example of having patience against the sins. But there's also a patience of the good things as well. How can you show patience in good things? By consistently doing them. By being steadfast. By reading namaz every single day. That is being patient. That you are following the rules of Islam and you're doing them on time. That's also a form of patience. So power of patience is, inshallah, good things happen to those who are patient. MashaAllah. Well done, boys. I think we had a beautiful, you know, colorful discussion today without the colorings. Yeah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now it's time for us to move on to our next segment called Did You Know?
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Did You Know? Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about an incident that took place many, many centuries ago. At the blessed time of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This was after the migration towards Medina Sharif. After some years, after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when Muslims wanted to come back to Makkah Sharif. Remember what happened at the beginning? When Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to be in Makkah Sharif and the life became so difficult there, the people of the area, they made life so hard for the Muslims. They used to punish them, they used to hurt them, they used to torture them, they used to bully them. They struggled them years. It was very hard. Around 10 years after the announcement of the prophethood. Yeah, it was very hard for the Muslims to live there. Then they had to make this very important decision of their life. That is, they're now going to migrate. And they had to migrate in secret. They couldn't like announce it, okay, everyone, we're going to go now. And everyone's going to be happy with no.
They're going to follow it. Yeah.
So they left Medina Sharif, Makkah Sharif in secret. The whole journey story, especially the what happened in which is called Mount Thor. Yeah. Ghari Thor, a great historic event, incident took place in that cave as well. But after many years, when Muslims were in Medina Sharif, and now Muslims, alhamdulillah, were growing as well. The number was increasing. Now Muslims wanted to come back to Makkah Sharif, and they only wanted one thing. They wanted to perform Umrah. They wanted to perform Umrah. And this incident took place in the month of Dhul Qa'dah. So within the month of Dhul Qa'dah, that's one of the reasons we're discussing this topic. So what happened? Muslims wanted to perform Umrah. And these people were so lucky. These are the Sahaba Ikram, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And in numbers, there were around 1400 Sahaba alayhim ridwan who were with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and they wanted to perform Umrah. What did they perform?
Umrah.
Yes. So just imagine so many Sahaba, over 1,000 Sahaba Ikram traveled all the way from Medina Sharif to Makkah Sharif, just outside Makkah Sharif. They reached and they wanted to perform Umrah. And that was like the best ever thing they could have done. Yeah. They you know, this journey, by the way, it's like more than possibly over 200 miles. 200 miles, there's no cars, there's no trains, there's no aeroplanes at that time. They traveled on the foot. They traveled, or they had some animals, they had camels. Yeah. They used to have breaks in so many ways. I don't know.
How long would it take? That is like,
say again?
How far do you say that is like in
like from here, rise? Where we are in Manchester area, from here to London. But in a car, it takes 4 hours.
Yeah.
And that journey, when you have to walk there, just imagine, you know, probably 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It will take a lot of time. But obviously, they'll do breaks in the midway as well and stop. Whenever they get tired, they'll stop. Then they'll have the breaks. Whatever the style was that time, then they used to carry on again. But it was so hard. It was so hard. And when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam arrived with around 1,400 Sahaba ikram, only to perform Umrah, not to fight, not to, like, you know, they didn't come with weapons or armory. They were just simple people. They didn't have anything. They were just like normal travelers, whatever they had with them, that's it. They came with clean heart, clean mind. They didn't come to fight. They didn't come to argue. But they knew, generally, Muslims were aware that these are people we're going back to. They didn't like us. We were forced to migrate. We had to leave everything. They left their homes. They left their family, they left their possessions, everything. Yeah, and it was an easy decision, but now they're coming back. So it was a very emotional moment for those Sahaba who migrated. Now they come here, and what happens? The people of Quraysh who were there at that time, the non-Muslims at that time, they stopped these people. They stopped the caravan of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam just outside Makkah Sharif. And this place was called Hudaybiyah. What is it called?
Hudaybiyah.
Hudaybiyah. Have you heard this name before?
I think this is the place where the...
Have you heard the place?
Yeah.
Answer my question. Have you heard the place? Yes, no? You heard the name, yeah? Hudaybiyah. So there's a place called Hudaybiyah. That's where the Sahaba Ikram and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were stopped. Just outside Makkah Sharif. And this is the place where... Actually, why would they stop there? The people of Quraysh were saying, no, how dare you come? You're not allowed to come. We will not let you perform Umrah. Just imagine, they've traveled so far just to perform Umrah and they were stopped. Just imagine how, like, their hearts would have been broken. How painful this moment was. That means that they were looking for a fight. They were looking for an argument. They wanted something. But Muslims were there for peace. They were there just to perform Umrah, not to fight, not to argue. Yeah. They weren't there for a battle. So what happened? On this occasion, something important happened, historic took place. And this historic incident is called the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. What is it called?
The Treaty of Hudaybiyah.
So there was few rules that were set. Treaty means like it was an agreement. There was agreement between both sides. Yeah. It was a difficult one for the Muslims. Yeah. But it was agreement. And one of the things in the agreement was that you will not be allowed to perform Umrah. Can you believe it? They had to accept this because they didn't want a battle. They didn't want to have bloodshed there. Yeah. And therefore, Muslims agreed that, okay, with this this condition, that next year we'll be allowed to come back and perform Umrah. So they said, okay, this year we will not let you perform Umrah, but next year you can come. So now they made an agreement, and Muslims agreed. It was an easy thing. It was tough, it was hard. But Muslims agreed due to having peace. They wanted peace. And they also said that one of the other conditions that was set in this agreement was that if someone in Makkah Sharif became a Muslim, and he went to Madinah Sharif to live with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that person will have to be sent back to Makkah. They said, no, you have to send that person back. Maybe they'll make it hard for him. Yeah, they'll be tough with them. But if a Muslim left Madinah Sharif for Makkah, then they will not be sent back. So if a Muslim from Makkah went to Madinah, you Muslims have to send him back to us. But if your person comes to us, then we will not send him back. Now that was like hard, wasn't it? Yeah, they were being like harsh with the Muslims. But because of, you know, having peace in that place, especially Makkah Sharif, you don't want bloodshed there. You don't want trouble there. You don't want people to fight there. No, due to this, Muslims were patient. They remained strong. And they agreed to all these conditions. And there are many conditions that were done, but I just mentioned some of them to you. And now, overall, if you look at it, it was like unfair to the Muslims, wasn't it? But Muslims accepted this. And the reason they accepted this is because of peace. Yeah? It was unfair. They agreed to it. They agreed to it because they said you can come again next year. So that was one thing they've agreed. Yeah. However, if you look at the bigger picture, in a way, Muslims lost, didn't they? The enemies or the people of Quraysh, they won in this treaty in a way, didn't they? Look, it was their rules, weren't they? Their rules that Muslims had to accept. It was hard for them, but they had to accept them. But in a way, it looks like they lost. Yeah. But what happened in the Quran, in Surah Fath, this treaty has been mentioned as a clear victory. This was a victory for the Muslims. Because Muslims were patient. They remained strong. They listened to the Prophet ﷺ. They did not argue. And what happened? One of the things that was mentioned in this treaty was that for many years, possibly around 10 years, Muslims, this treaty was mentioned that there will be no fighting between Muslims and Quraysh. The people who were not Muslims in the Quraysh. So about 10 years, they will not have fights. So this was discussed. What happened? Although after a couple of years, the people of Quraysh and the people of Makkah, they broke that treaty. That's a different matter. But what happened during that period, when there was no fighting, what happened? This actually benefited the Muslims. Because this is the time when Islam spread far and wide. More and more people came to Islam. And because they did a treaty, they were not allowed to fight. They were not allowed to argue. So now, this actually helped Muslims because thousands of people entered Islam easily without fighting, without being tortured. Yeah. So if overall this treaty was a benefit for the Muslims as well. So this is a very important incident that took place. And there was another incident that took place in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. This is called Bayt-e Rizwan. Inshallah, maybe one of the coming weeks we'll discuss that topic as well, inshallah. That's something very important as well that inshallah we need to know, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Just quickly, we'll go to one more segment because our time is getting to the end now. We'll go to our final segment for today, Islamic Heroes.
I love Islam, I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Islamic Heroes. Today, inshallah, Azawajal, we're going to talk about one of the great personality of the last century. Someone who is known as the author of Bahare Shariat, a very beautiful, in detail book about Islam. Bahare Shariat. Who is the author of Bahari Shariat? Does anyone know?
Taji Sharia?
Ooh, it's close.
Taji Sharia son?
No. Taji Sharia. It's something Sharia.
Ala Hazrat?
Sadr al-Sharia. It's the student of Ala Hazrat. One of the intelligent student of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about Sadr al-Sharia, Mufti Amjad Ali Azami, Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He is known as Sadr al-Sharia. He is one of the greatest personalities of the last century, and he has written an encyclopedia of Islamic rulings, which is known as Bahare Shariat. This is also translated in English as well. Yeah, and if you just to let you know, if the printed version is about that big, it's got the modern printing, it's got five or six volumes. It's really big. Yeah, and it's got rulings of Islam. You can say from the birth of someone to the dead and after dying as well. Like what, anything that people need to know in Islam about rulings of Islam, the rulings have been mentioned there. Subhanallah.
Every single ruling.
Overall, the rulings have been mentioned in very detail about Islam. So if you got a question, for example, how to look after your parents, what are the rights of parents? You'll find that there. How to read namaz, you'll find it there. How to give zakat, you'll find it there.
Rights of your Muslim brother.
Rights of a Muslim brother, you'll find it there. Rights of sisters, you'll find it there. Yeah. So if you're growing big now, you're gonna find a job. What's the right of your employer? You'll find it there. And what's your rights as an employee? You'll find it there. Everything about Eid namaz, you'll find there. About funeral namaz, how to perform ghusl of the funeral person, how to perform ghusl normally, how to perform wuzu, ghusl, what are the conditions of namaz? So many things. It's an encyclopedia of Islamic rulings. It's called Bahare Shariat. Look up for it. Why don't you search for it and find the picture and make sure you have that in your house. Bahare Shariat is written by Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, one of the greatest personalities, one of the brightest students of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And now we'll have to take a break. It's time for us to take a leave now. We will see you again, inshallah, next week, same place, same time, only on Madri channel. I love
Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.